This is Ozarks at Large. This autumn, Peter Cooper and Eric Brace came to Fayetteville from Nashville to play a couple of shows, including a Friday night happy hour session at Kingfish just off of Dixon Street. They've played and written songs together, apart, and as parts of bigger combos. Their latest CD is titled The Comeback Album, and Peter Cooper's just-released solo CD is called Opening Day. During their visit to Northwest Arkansas, they also came to the Furman Garner Performance Studio to talk about songwriting and to play music. Not only do they write songs, but they've also written about writing songs. Peter is a music journalist with the Nashville paper, The Tennessean, and Eric covered music for the Washington Post. I asked them if interviewing musicians helps them become better songwriters.
Yes, it can. It's a secret weapon of sorts. I get paid to attend songwriting school, basically. Mm-hmm. Sit down with Kris Kristofferson and Tom T. Hall and ask them how they do what they do and soak up the lessons. So it's really an unfair advantage. I should be a much better songwriter than I am.
That's a good point. Yeah. But it's true. I mean, what he says is that we do get to interview people, and I don't do it anymore, but I did from 96 to 2003 in the Washington Post. And I got to call up whoever I wanted, whoever was coming to town, and just interview them. And you get to hear people like Rodney Crowell say things like, I really struggled with my voice until I realized that I had to write songs that only Rodney Crowell could write. And that was kind of a revelation. You didn't have to write standard Moon June songs. In fact, you shouldn't. You should write songs that are the only kind of thing you can do. So it helped me find my voice as a songwriter.
It's an interesting point. That I know you, Peter, have defended Nashville because it has become hip for some people, mm-hmm. Robbie Foulkes and people, to just say that, you know, Nashville is a horrible place.
Well, I love Robbie Foulkes. First of all, he's
and I do too.
For those who don't know, he's a marvelous singer songwriter, and he had a song based on his Nashville experiences that I find particularly funny, but. When we say Nashville, it's kind of, what are we talking about? The Nashville that I know and love is the one where you see John Prine in the parking lot at the Target, and you see Emmylou Harris at the consignment store, and you see incredibly inspiring, creative people at the coffee shop every day. And just because there's somebody in Nashville made a record that you didn't enjoy when they played it on the country station, that has nothing to do with the rest of it. You know, it's like saying you don't like Nashville because of something you heard on the radio is like saying you don't like New York City because you think Donald Trump's kind of a jerk.
Right. Well, and, you know, Nashville has, for decades now, had some of the greatest musicians.
Yes.
You could call up Chet Atkins, and he's there. Floyd Kramer, or, as the case may be, Lloyd Green.
Yes. It is an extraordinary place, and it's the reason why I moved there from Washington in 2004, because you really can call up Lloyd Green and say, let's make a record, or in our case, which we've done, Marty Stewart or Duane Eddy. And, you know, the people that complain about the commercial country music that comes out on those radio stations, and I do, I complain about it a lot, you have to remember that it's a company, major label record companies right now are just merely making soundtracks to advertisements, and they're just cranking out widgets, and they're trying desperately to stay alive and make a buck. But the people that we hang out with, people like Tommy Womack and Todd Snyder and Kevin Gordon and folks like that, Elizabeth Cook, they're just trying to write a great song. And that's two different endeavors. It's like we're making widgets and we're trying to create a timeless song. They're very different things.
The latest album that features the two of you, the Comeback Album, the first song, which is Ancient History, name drops a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Two I want to bring up. Sid Bream, who you sing was Safe at Home back when the last time the Pittsburgh Pirates were good.
That's right. Are you a Pirates fan?
No, but I'm a baseball fan.
Okay.
And I remember that game vividly.
Okay.
Because Sid Bream was the slowest person in Major League Baseball.
Slowest person in human history. He still managed to beat the throw.
And then you also mentioned Dick Trickle, who was a NASCAR driver.
Yes.
The idea behind the song, I didn't write it, so I'm surmising, is that you are who you are now, but you don't know who you're going to be in the future.
Well, Peter had an idea when he was hearing a story told about Jerry Jeff Walker, and that kind of sent him down the path.
Yeah, actually, somebody was was trying to convince Todd Snyder, our friend, that his hero, Jerry Jeff Walker, was kind of a fraud because he was actually raised in upstate New York, not in Texas. He's known now as the Texas Troubadour guy. But he was, his name isn't even Jerry Jeff Walker. So this person was like, his name was Ronald Crosby, and he was from New York. And he's not Jerry Jeff Walker from Texas. He just invented that one day. And Todd was like, he invented that? He's really my hero. So the notion behind the song is that we're what we are today, and if we want to be something else tomorrow, that's just fine. And it's a kind of a laundry list of people who, created their own destiny, which is impossible, actually, because if it's
right.
Your destiny,
I know
you believe in destiny.
Don't you hate that in the sports talk shows? Like, well, the team's got their destiny
right.
In their hands.
They're in control of their own destiny. No, not if you buy into the destiny thing. You know?
It's true.
Can we hear that song?
Yes.
Oh, it'd
absolutely.
Be great. And pay attention to 2/3 of the way through to Warren Mihachik. I just want to say you guys should... You should Google Warren Mihachik
yes.
for a man who lived an extraordinary life.
Yes, we went into an antique store / junk shop in New England one time and saw these fish on the wall that had been caught in 1984 by Warren Mihachik. And we then looked him up and found out he may be the most astounding athlete of our time.
Cassius Clay was Muhammad Ali. Bill Brown was Lovin' Dan.
Donnie Fritz was Funky Donnie Fritz. Funky Donnie Fritz was the Alabama leaning man.
James Smith was LL Cool J.
Roanoke, Virginia is the Star City.
Harold Grange was the Galloping Ghost. Harold Jenkins was Conway Twitty. It is what it is. Not how it's gotta be. From my point of obstructed view, you are who you are, not who you're gonna be. Every passing moment is ancient history.
Ronald Crosby from New York State was a native Texan named Jerry Jeff Walker.
Gene Chandler was the Duke of Earl. Lucille Lucerne was Joan Crawford.
George Herman Ruth was Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth was the Sultan of SWAT.
Ninja Ted was Judo Jim. The Dig Dug champion was Tommy Gillette. It is what it is, not how it's gotta be. From my point of obstructed view, we are who we are, not who we're gonna be. Every passing moment is ancient history. Irvin Johnson was Magic Johnson. Larry Bird was a French Lick Hick. Richard Stark, he was Ringo Starr. Richard Nixon was Tricky Dick. Dick Trickle was a race car driver. Really, he was a race car driver. A talented and popular race car driver. Richard Anderson was Agent MacGyver. Francis Gum was Judy Garland. Sid Bream was Save at Home.
The secret sauce was Thousand Island. The eighth world wonder was the Astrodome.
Amelia Earhart was an aviatrix. Warren Mihachik was an angling champ. Frederick Douglass was an abolitionist. They put his face on a 5-cent stamp. It is what it is, not how it's gotta be. From my point of obstructed view, we are who we are, not who we're gonna be. Every passing moment is ancient history. Oh, you are who you are, so who you gonna be? Every passing moment is is ancient history. Ooh.
Thank you. It's great. Fair to say, I think that's an empowerment song.
In a way it is, sure.
I mean, whatever you are now, if you want to be something different, better, you can be.
You can be. So within reason. I doubt I'm going to make an NBA team next year. But
I know. There is a danger, you know, when kids are growing up. It's like, you can do anything. Right. You can be anything you want to be. It's
not so much.
Not. Yeah.
Yeah, it is meant as an empowerment song. And people just kind of... Sometimes people get into a rut and think they've got to stay there, but they don't.
You or both of you have DJed on WSM?
Yes.
We have. We have a periodic, about every month or two, we get to go on and do a show, and Peter curates it and comes up with some songs. And we usually do a theme, sort of like One Degree of Separation from, say, Tom T. Hall or Emmylou Harris or people like that.
WSM?
Yeah. Yes.
I mean...
That's the big one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
6:50 a.m. the legend.
Most famous country station there is, and it's just such an honor and a thrill to get to go on there. It feels like you're being entrusted with something. So that's the one time we really work hard not to mess up.
Red Beat Records.
Yep.
You and your wife?
That's right. And Lindsay Hayes is our label manager. And we started it when I moved down to Nashville, and I was moved down there with my band Last Train Home, and I thought surely some label will want to sign us on. And strangely enough, nobody did. And it was at a time when all the labels were kind of collapsing. And
I was going to say it's not exactly a get rich quick scheme.
No, not at all. And
yeah,
so
we were misinformed.
I figure, hey, we'll just start our own label and get rich really quick. But in fact, that hasn't happened. But it has given us the leeway to do pretty much whatever we want. And like signing crazy people like Peter Cooper. And we put out Peter's three solo records. We put out three of our duo records. There's a woman in South Carolina, Fasu Starling McLean, who was a great singer that was in Peter's hometown of Spartanburg. And he produced her record. She used to sing on all those 1970s Emmylou Harris records, singing harmony. We've done a few East Nashville samplers, compilations, and some Last Train Home records. And we've kind of helped a bunch of other Nashville songwriters along with some of their releases too.
Well, Peter, your latest solo CD, Opening Day, has been out about a week or so.
Yeah, a couple weeks. That's right.
Okay, we've heard you sing, Sid Bream. We've heard you sing about Babe Ruth. There's Ron Santo on the back of this CD.
Yes,
you on the front.
Me on the front as an 8-year-old at my first Major League Baseball game.
Folks, he is so cute, and if you don't like the music, you should buy the record just to get that dang cute little boy picture.
It's a picture of me when I was young and had hope and things like that. Rick Camp was on the mound for the Braves that day against the San Diego Padres. Randy Jones on the hill for the Pods.
I'm betting that you are not reciting that from total memory, that you actually did a little research on that game.
No, I remembered all that and then did the research for the liner notes to my album and found out that my memories were correct.
Okay.
Bob Horner was a rookie. He signed an autograph for me that day.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Do you mind if we hear a song from Opening Day?
I would. Yes, in fact.
You
I
do mind? Okay.
Yeah. No, okay. All right. Let's do the title track. This is... It's the saddest song I have about hope. I wrote this song right as my son was being born 3 years ago, and he was just perfect at first. And he was born at the beginning of the baseball season, and my team was just perfect at first, and neither of these things lasted particularly long. And he's a good boy, but perfect, that's perfect's a tough order.
The odds are on the odds on favorites. They can kill you with a murderer's row. They got a young phenom calling home to mom and saying, watch, I'm gonna put on a show. They can hit for power, they can steal a base. They got a crafty skipper with a poker face. They're gonna race away with a pennant race. A couple of breaks, we might take fourth place. A couple of breaks. All's well that ends well. Around here things don't end well. But we're tied for first with a whole summer left to play. The fall breaks kind for the lucky ones. Winter comes even to the champions. Keep the aftermath and the epitaph. Give me opening day. I've been coming since before I remember. I've seen the pictures to prove that it's so. The season's design will knock your heart out of line and lay it on you when you're laying low. I have seen more big names than you could name. I've seen a whole lot of dreams when they pull up lame. Sad September is a crying shame, but won't you take me out to the new ball game? All's well that ends well. Around here things don't end well. But we're tied for first with a whole summer left to play. And the fall breaks kind for the lucky ones. Winter comes even to the champions. Keep the aftermath and the epitaph. Just give me opening day. When it feels like summer in the springtime, like morning in the afternoon. But we are weak up the middle and dull at the corners, and the dog days come too soon. Too soon. I guess my father was the first to teach me that my mother never understood that it is not fair, the deal ain't square. All you can do is just to try to make good. You know the players will always change. Mostly the uniforms stay the same. Just put your picture in a pretty frame and pass the mustard and share the blame. And hey, pass the mustard. All's well that ends well. Around here things don't end well. But we're tied for first with a whole summer left to play. And the fall breaks kind for the lucky ones. The winter comes even to the champions. Keep the aftermath and the epitaph. Just give me opening day. Just give me opening day. Just give me opening day.
Well, maybe I'm optimistic to a fault, but I think that's a song that's empowering, too, because there's always another opening day.
There is always another opening day.
Wait till next
year. There is renewal, a new chance for your heart to just be smashed. Baseball, it's designed to break your heart. It begins with all the hope of spring, and then it ends with the chill of fall and the leaves on the ground and the winter ahead.
I should mention you're Grammy nominated.
Yeah, which is code, by the way, for Grammy losing.
But you receive a medallion for being nominated.
Oh, you know how it works.
Yeah.
We got the nominees medallion, and we got to go to a big party Saturday night with other nominees like Weird Al Yankovic. Mm-hmm. That was really fun.
Yeah.
And that was fun because everybody was still not a loser yet.
Yeah, it was like the opening day of the Grammys.
That's right. And then Sunday was the Grammys, and that's when everybody's heads kind of fell.
The most exciting part of that whole thing was just that split second before they announced that we lost. Man.
Hey, but we were sitting in a corner of the room where Emmylou Harris was sitting also.
That's right.
And she did come over to you and say, "I voted for you guys."
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Get Emmylou Harris's vote. There you go.
I mean, I'll take that.
Absolutely.
Can I get her to sign something, affidavit
on
that?
I voted for you, Emmylou. Yeah. Maybe so.
An affidavit.
Yeah.
We'll see what we can do, Eric.
But that was for you bringing back a Tom T. Hall album, not even a CD.
Yeah, when Tom T. was an A-list country star in the early 70s, he decided that he wanted to make an album for kids, or at least that would... that kids would listen to and understand. And he was known for songs about barrooms and graveyards and all that. He made an album called Songs of Fox Hollow, and it was all about his farm and the animals on his farm. Put it out, wound up having two number one country hits off it. It was something that when I was a child I'd listen to, and my dad would listen to and enjoy it, and my granddad would listen to and enjoy it. And it's just a splendid album and really kind of a brave thing to do if we can imagine – Brad Paisley or somebody these days putting out a kid's record. The record company would not.
Jason Aldean.
Right. Jason Aldean, kid's record would not. The record company would not be real pleased about that. But Tom T did it, and I always kind of felt like it was a personal present for me even before I met Tom T. Hall. And so we that album got to be out of circulation, and Eric and I decided to go to Tom T's home studio at Fox Hollow at his farm and re-record those songs with a lot of Tom T's fans, people like Patty Griffin and Jim Lauderdale and Dwayne Eddy and Bobby Bear, all sorts of folks who just love Tom T Hall. And we had a ball. We went there and sang songs about goats and
sneaky snakes,
one-legged
and all
chickens.
That.
And everybody that we called said, "Oh, I'm in."
Yeah.
"Hey, you want to go to Tom T Hall's house and hang out with him and sing some of his fun songs?" "Are you sure?" "I'm there."
Yeah. So that was what we were nominated for the Grammy for. And for parents out there, it is, I can say this as a parent, it is a rare kids-oriented album that won't drive you insane. There's not a lot of the blip, 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 blips on there. It's real instruments played by real people.
Very few purple dinosaurs.
Nothing in the way of that. And it's all good. Buddy Miller on there singing about Sneaky Snake. I promise you, it's better. It's better for your life, you know. Forget the kids.
We're here to make your
investment
world
in your personal.
That's right.
If you got to hear something over and over again, because we have gotten a lot of responses from parents saying, "Man, you know, when kids play songs over and over again, we really like this one over and over again."
Yeah.
So that's really been rewarding to hear. Almost as good as knowing that Emmylou Harris voted for us.
Mm-hmm. That, along with opening day, Peter Cooper's brand new solo CD can be found at Red Beat Records, as can the comeback album. Mm-hmm. Eric and Peter together, and all the other Red Beat records.
Absolutely.
And I should mention that aren't you working on a Gold Rush project?
I am, yeah, and that'll be out in November, actually.
It's a total money grab.
Who doesn't want?
It's a folk musical about the Gold Rush.
That's
it's
right.
Just
not another one.
Crass commercialism on Eric's part.
I know. Taylor Swift and Jay-Z both wrote one, and so
right.
I figured I better get on the bandwagon. Yeah, that's coming out, and it's just a story that I made up, and a friend of mine, Carl Straub, and I wrote the songs, and we got people to sing it, people like Kelly Willis and Jason Ringenberg and Tim O'Brien and Daryl Scott, and, well, not people like them, those actual people.
Jason,
yeah.
All right.
So yeah. I'm pretty excited about it, and I hope anybody who's going to be around Nashville on November 2nd, they should come out to see it live, and I'll keep you all posted at redbeatrecords.com.
All right, and can we have one more song?
So, Eric, let's do the song Wait a Minute. It was one you and I both, when we were knee-high to a grasshopper, used to go and hear the Seldom Seen, this progressive bluegrass band, do every week when we were in the Washington, D.C. area in high school.
Birchmere in Alexandria, Virginia, a legendary club, and we did indeed. We generally went there about 10 years apart because I got 10 years on you, but the Seldom Seen, turns out, when I moved to Nashville, turned out to be on both Peter and my list of greatest favorite bands ever and most inspiring band ever. And we were lucky enough, we got to know Mike Aldridge over the years. And
Dobro legend.
He agreed to come in the studio to record a record that we did called Master Sessions. And it's called Master Sessions because Mike is on it. And he's a Dobro master. And Lloyd Green, who's the pedal steel master, and turned out was Mike Aldridge's pedal steel hero because Mike also plays pedal steel.
Yeah, it's the first time they ever got to make a whole album together, and Mike was the real instrumental centerpiece of the Seldom Scene. And then we asked him if we could record this song, and he said, yeah, he'd be happy to have that. And we had a third part on the album was recorded actually by country star Kenny Chesney, who is a huge Seldom Scene fan, and who ever since he recorded this with us has gotten to be pretty famous.
Yeah, we're here to help.
He's done well. He's like selling out stadiums now. So, you know, we're happy to give the kid a boost.
2, 3, 4.
Wait a minute. Did I hear you say you're going far away? Try to change it. I can't take the lonely nights without your love. Doing the road, get the music done, move along. What good does it do? Play songs for her.
and hear her say, whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait a minute, did I hear you say you're going far away again? Try to change it, I can't take the lonely nights without your love.
Rolling along, and life's been good to you. And even so, she comes to you late at night is the time you hear her say once again.
Wait a minute, did I hear you say you're going far away again? Try to change it, I can't take the lonely nights without your love. Waiting for you 30 days and nights without a rest. I gotta hold on, 25 to go, and once again I hear you say, hey, hey. Wait a minute, did I hear you say you're going far away again? Try to change it, I can't take the lonely nights without your love. Wait a minute, did I hear you say you're going far away again? Try to change it, I can't take the lonely nights without your love.
Peter Cooper and Eric Brace live in Nashville and were in Northwest Arkansas recently to play a couple of shows, and they promise they will be back to the area soon. Their latest CD together is called The Comeback Album. Peter Cooper's latest solo CD is called Opening Day, and you can learn much more about all of their musical work at the website Red Beat Records, as in the vegetable, Red Beat, B-E-T, Records.